Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Let's turn now to politics and the latest in our series of conversations with the candidates running to be the next governor of Massachusetts. Today, Mark Fisher. He's seeking the Republican nomination. He's the owner of the Auburn-based metal manufacturing company, Merchants Fabrication.
At the Republican convention earlier this year, the party said Fisher failed to meet the threshold needed to make the primary ballot by 6 votes. Fisher's camp charged that there were irregularities in the voting and that the party was cheating him out of a primary bid. In May, a judge ordered the Tea Party candidate's name to be included on the Republican primary ballot.
And joining us now in the studio to tell us about his run for the corner office, as well as what separates him from fellow Republican Charlie Baker, is Mark Fisher. Welcome to Radio Boston. It's great to meet you, and welcome to the program.
Great to meet you, Anthony and Meghna. Thank you for having me.
Sure. So I want to just read a very quick quote. Boston Globe columnist Adrian Walker described you recently as a Tea Party candidate in a non-Tea Party state with very little visible support. So tell me why you're running for governor and why you think you can win.
Well, interesting. First, a comment about that. There was a poll recently that said 14% of the state considers itself a part of the Tea Party. That's more than Republicans. Republicans are only 11%, so I take exception to that characterization. And here's the thing. I think that the Democrats own the state. That's true. And the typical response has been you got to sort of run as a liberal Democrat to win, even if you're a Republican. I take the opposite approach. I say, yes, the Democrats own the state, but that simply means they own all the problems. What a wonderful time to be a conservative Republican in Massachusetts if you run as one, because we can't be blamed for any of the current problems.
But isn't it true that the I think everyone agrees the Democrats own the state, but we have had successful Republican candidates for governor, even in recent history. And it seems like they put together coalitions of conservatives as well as Democratic moderates for whom issues of fiscal responsibility mm-hmm. and low taxes resonated. But they stayed quiet or even liberal on the social issues. And this isn't your approach. Your mm-hmm. approach is run hard, right, and be proud of it and unapologetic.
I agree with that. I agree with that. It's a funny thing.
But how can that win in Massachusetts, given what it's taken to win in the past?
Well, what's taken to win in the past, if you look at Republican governors Weld and
Salucci
and Romney and Salucci.
Yeah, and Romney.
Look at Bill Silber was way ahead, and there was an incident late in the game. And the same thing with Shannon O'Brien. There was an incident late in the game. This is when tattoos weren't that popular, and it sort of tipped the scales a little bit. I mean, Mitt Romney didn't get 50%. It's hard to get 50% in the state. Fast forward to me running as a conservative. I think things in Massachusetts, we're called Taxachusetts. I think if we continue down the road that we're headed, we're going to become Detroit-achusetts. And I think all these problems, because the Democrats own the state, are blamed on the Democrats. And if you run like Chris Christie has in New Jersey, like Scott Walker has in Wisconsin, and Sandy Ramirez in New Mexico, then even a blue state can collect a conservative Republican.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the issues. The recent Supreme Court decision that ruled that Massachusetts' buffer zone law, mm-hmm. Which kept protesters back from clinics that perform abortions, was unconstitutional. Charlie Baker says he cares deeply about both ensuring women can safely access health care facilities and protecting freedom of speech. What's your view on this decision mm-hmm. and on how you maintain that balance?
Sure. Actually, this is a very interesting thing. I think that those groups that can call themselves pro-life and others who call themselves pro-choice should both be hailing this decision because it gives women more of an opportunity to get more information to make informed choices. Now, those, and I think as we speak, there's a demonstration at City Hall Plaza with Martha Coakley and others that are demonstrating against the decision. I just think that shows their true colors, that they're not pro-choice, that they're pro-abortion, and they're not liking the fact that women can get more information.
Now, of course, we've had Martha Coakley on this, sitting right in the seat where you are, mm-hmm. and she would talk about this is about keeping women safe mm-hmm. and keeping access to healthcare facilities open and available to them.
Well, here's the thing. At the Supreme Court, the decision, the justices asked, give us some instances where you're talking about violence or people being accosted. If you go past an abortion clinic, it's like a mini branch of the NSA. There's cameras everywhere. And not a single instance could be shown of any type of violence or harassment. I've been outside of abortion clinics. I'm a Catholic. I've had my rosary. I've been praying outside. And it was interesting in Justice Roberts' decision. He said, these are not protesters. These are counselors trying to provide women with information. So we're being mischaracterized.
All right. Well, let's talk about another Supreme Court decision involving women. The High Court ruled that some companies can opt out of the requirement to provide birth control through their health insurance plans. Now, this is a hugely controversial decision, as you know, with critics saying it unfairly intrudes on a woman's health care choices. Mm-hmm. What's your view? This, of course, is the Hobby case.
Sure. From what I could understand about it, the Hobby decision, that the plaintiff was addressing four cases of the 20 cases of contraception that are out there. And the four that they were opposed to, from religious standpoints, said this, that these four types of contraception don't prevent conception. Conception happens. And what it does is it prevents that life from going forward. And that's where their argument was. And so the other 16 types, I don't think they have any issue with. It's those four.
Yeah. But, I mean, of course, here's the idea, though, and I want to sort of run this by you, the sort of pushback on that. And that is, this is employer-provided health care. It's an earned benefit. Women work for this. So why should a company impose their religious beliefs to deny a woman a benefit that she has worked for?
Interesting. Like you talked earlier about the balance on the other issue.
Yeah.
So they made the argument, and the Supreme Court agreed with them that they, you know, First Amendment right to practice their faith. And I guess it only applies to family-owned businesses, not all across the board, that this is where the justices found to find the balance.
Yeah. But you think they found the right balance?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Let's talk about healthcare while we're still sort of talking about healthcare. Mm-hmm. We live in a state that modeled a healthcare delivery system. It was once known as Romney Care. Mm-hmm. Now I guess it's known mm-hmm. as Obamacare. Do you support it? And if not, how would you ensure that Americans get the health coverage, healthcare coverage that they need in a way that they can afford?
Sure. Here's the thing, Anthony. So prior to what you mentioned, Romney Care, or now with Obamacare, at least in Massachusetts, we had decent health care. We have some of the best health care facilities in the country. Now with under Obamacare, we haven't seen the full effect of Obamacare, but our insurance premiums went up between 15 and 20% higher than the rest of the country. This is what happens when government gets involved in the health care industry. So I would say this, let's get the government out of it. Let's be more competitive. And I liken this to auto insurance. Everybody can understand the example of auto insurance. When we allowed companies to come in from out of state, whether it be Geico or Allstate, our insurance premiums for our cars went down 13%. I say we open up the borders, make it competitive across state lines. And then secondly, like auto insurance again, we all have auto insurance, but we don't use it to buy gasoline or tires or wiper blades or get tune-ups for our cars. With healthcare, we should have a similar type of thing. Catastrophic coverage for those things we have to go in and get surgery. But routine things, we shouldn't have to look to our insurance provider. We should be able to go in and pick and choose ourselves. And that added competition, we decide to go to this facility versus that facility, will lower healthcare costs.
Here in Massachusetts, though, I mean, one of the you can say insurance premiums have gone up, but of course they've gone up for a lot of different reasons. In the meantime, the Massachusetts law covers, 98% mm-hmm. of state residents. I don't hear a groundswell out there opposed to our state healthcare system. Mm-hmm. Would you repeal Romney Care here in Massachusetts?
Oh, if I could, I would. I mean, the governor's not a tyrant. I mean, this is my opinion. I would certainly get rid of it. An interesting thing, I mean, Charlie Baker and all the rest of the other Democrats believe that health care is a right. And I say no.
Really? Because that's the next question I wanted to ask you.
Perfect segue.
So you don't see health care as a right.
Well, here's the thing. I have employees mm-hmm. that don't have, they choose not to have health care. They have to pay the penalty in the state when they file their taxes. Mm-hmm. For them, happiness, the right to pursue happiness, doesn't include health insurance for them. It does for me, but it doesn't for them. Why should our government, be their state or federal, be imposing this upon us? We have to buy it if it's truly a right that we can choose.
Okay, well, I mean, you're talking about a group of people who don't want to choose health insurance, but mm-hmm. what about the millions of people who, or the tens of millions, are looking across the country who want to have health care but just can't afford it?
We make it as affordable as we can, and I think getting the government out of it is a step in the right direction to make it more affordable. And to do these things, open it up across state lines, and to have catastrophic insurance versus insurance for everything, that would lower premiums and make it more affordable for people.
What about the minimum wage? The state legislature approved, the governor just signed a bill raising the minimum wage to $11 an hour by 2017. Mm-hmm. Would you have signed that bill if you were governor?
No, I wouldn't have, and here's the reason, Anthony. I believe that minimum skill workers should be getting raises. But this is something between themselves and their employer. By the way, people who make minimum wage, the vast majority of them get a raise in 3 months. Interesting, this is very interesting, that the family average income for somebody working minimum wage is $52,000. How can that be if they're on minimum wage? It's because they're not the major breadwinner, or they have a second job, or the other persons in the family are providing income. So these are entry-level jobs where people learn to come to work, impress their boss, show up on time, do a good job, and then they work their way up the ladder. And as they gain more skills, they get more money. It shouldn't be a government-controlled thing.
I want to ask you about how you see, how you differ from your Republican rival, Charlie Baker. One way that you differ is Baker is raising tons of money, just under $400,000 last month. He's got more than $1 million in his campaign account. You have about $4,400 in your campaign account. That sounds like a real uphill battle in this modern day of buying TV and, just getting the word out.
Exactly. By the way, I think our balance is now about 10 times that. But that's still nothing in comparison to what Charlie's raised. Here's the thing, Anthony. If you have a bankrupt message, and Charlie has a bankrupt message, there's no amount of money he can raise to make up for that. He outspent Deval Patrick by $2.75 million 4 years ago and still lost. And look what happened to Eric Cantor down in Virginia. $5 million raised. And David Bratt, I think he raised $200,000, but only spent about half of that. And he wins. It's all about the message.
It's all about the message. All right. So you agree with him on a few issues. You both would consider making Boston an Olympic host city. You have more or less the same stance on the bottle bill redesign. You've both been skeptical about casino gambling overall. But you disagree on health care reform, the minimum wage, and climate change. Mm. And this is finally what I want to ask you about. You say climate change is not supported by science. So I'm really curious about how you can say that when the vast majority of climate scientists say that human activity is contributing to global warming. Do you really, really take that position of the bank?
Absolutely. I'd ask your audience to visit istheregloballwarming.com. What you talked about, the vast majority of scientists, 97%, that's a myth in and of itself, like email gate was with the ICPP and other scandals. Here's the thing. When I was in high school, I was told that the coming ice age, that was the science at the time. Well, that was wrong. Then we were told about global warming. And for the last 17 years, the same people who said it was warming have now said there's no change whatsoever. So now we've talked about climate change, not global warming. The same science that said all these other things has proved itself to be false. And the people who were trapped in the ice down in the Antarctic, you know why they were there? They were investigating the decline in the ice around the Antarctic. And they got trapped in an overabundance of it.
So what I'm hearing, though, Mark Fisher, honestly, is sort of a political theory being expressed here, as opposed to a huge plurality, majority of scientists who actually will tell you that global warming, climate change, call it whatever you want, exists. The point is, human beings are pumping all kinds of CO2 into the atmosphere. The planet's getting warmer. We're contributing to it, but you don't buy that.
It's not getting warmer. And the same science who said it was a few years ago are now backing away from it. They said that the ice mass and the Himalayas would be gone by 2015. They're backing away from that as well.
All right. Well, that's Mark Fisher. He's a Republican running for governor of Massachusetts. Mark Fisher, many thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, as we have all the candidates for governor come and share their thoughts about why they are running with us, remember, they're asking for your vote, so we're always interested to know what you think about what you hear on the show. Let us know at radioboston.org. And stick with us. There's more of the program coming up in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.